It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome to Taylor Talk episode 11, everybody. It is February 26th. This is Adam.
Belle. And unfortunately, due to scheduling issues, Jensita and Maya can't join us for this episode. So we have a special guest with us. Say hello to Haley.
Hello.
Hi, Haley.
What's up?
Haley, thanks for joining us last minute. Maya's flight got delayed, so yeah, that was a rather unfortunate circumstance that her flight got delayed. Anyway, let's get on to the announcements, shall we?
Go for it.
So first, I wanted to mention that Taylor Talk recently got an awesome spotlight by the Swift Agency.
Thank you, Augustin.
Yeah, many of you may be familiar with his work at theswiftagency.com. He says in this that he does not do that by request, and I want to reiterate, he does not do that by request. It caught us completely off guard, so thank you so much for giving us that that spotlight. It was really, really nice of you.
That was an awesome surprise.
Yeah, it was. And if anyone wants to read it, just go visit theswiftagency.com. Next, you still have a chance to enter to win your copy of Beautiful Eyes.
Still.
That does not end till March 7th. All you have to do is go to taylortalk.org, click on the survey link, and fill out a 7-question survey. Be sure to include your email, because that's how we're going to draw a winner. It's going to be a random drawing out of the emails. Keep in mind, we will not use those emails for anything except picking a winner and notifying the winner. So, you're safe. Go take the survey if you want to enter to win that. Next, the last episode was downloaded the most by which country, guys?
China.
China. So, to thank you guys, my co-host Belle is going to say thank you in Chinese.
All right, so I apologize if I butcher this. I don't really know anything Chinese. So, thank you, aka Shishing.
Shishi, everyone.
Thank you.
So, if any of our listeners in China want to correct that, please feel free.
Go for it. We're not going to be offended.
Yeah, I'm sure we did a poor job. So, anyway, our guest host Haley is going to give us the calendar. So, Haley, if you could go ahead with that, please.
Sure. March 2nd, The Lark hits theaters in Real D and IMAX. So, go support Taylor.
Yay, Taylor. We're totally excited about this.
It's going to be an awesome, awesome movie.
I agree. So, it's going to be really adorable.
Also, the same day is the first show in Australia, the first concert. So Taylor's band is already down there practicing and enjoying the beach.
There's some really, really, really adorable pictures of them hanging out on the beach on their Twitters. Like, we're not creepers or anything.
No, we don't creep on the band or dancers.
Never.
No, but seriously, they've been tweeting some gorgeous, gorgeous pictures of the beach.
It makes me really jealous.
Me too. I want to be in Australia right now so bad. I'm upset that I'm not. It's
so cold outside my house that I really, really wish I was there. So, well, if you're in Australia and you want to go check to see if where everything is, go to taylorswift.com/events for her tour schedule. I think she's going to Sydney afterwards, correct?
Actually, it's not Sydney for a while. After Perth is going to be Adelaide, then 2 shows in Brisbane, then Sydney.
Okay. So Sydney's the wrap-up.
So yeah, Australian fans, just check out taylorswift.com/events.
And enjoy it. You deserve it. You've waited a while.
Definitely enjoy yourselves, and don't forget to let us know how the concerts went and everything.
Yes, please.
We're going to be like dying for information.
Yes, dying for info and pictures and
videos.
Just have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because we did.
Most definitely.
Now, the last thing we have here is The Hunger Games. The movie comes out March 23rd. So you need to go check that out.
Go listen for Safe and Sound.
So excited for The Hunger Games. That's ridiculous.
Me too.
And the other song we're going to tell you about in the new segment.
Adam is the only one that has not read the series. Haley, you've read it, right?
Yes, I have read it. I've recently read it. So, and I got my sister into it, so.
You know what's funny is hearing how many Taylor Swift fans are now Hunger Games fans because of Taylor's involvement.
Yeah, I actually read the series before Taylor had anything to do with it, but it is a really, really good series. So regardless of the reason, whatever made you go read it, regardless of whether you read it beforehand or whether you read it because of Safe and Sound, it's an amazing series. And the movie, I hope to God the movie is as incredible as the books, because when they, you know, make a movie out of books, it's either awesome or just a complete disappointment.
Horrible.
I have a feeling The Hunger Games isn't going to be a disappointment, so I'm so excited to go see it. I'm definitely going to the midnight.
It looks pretty cool in the previews, but yeah. So, Belle, if you could give us the news.
Oh, Brady. So, this is really exciting. Taylor has received 2 nominations for the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. Yay!
Woohoo!
She got it for a favorite female singer and favorite song for Sparks Fly. And, I mean, how many people do not love Sparks Fly? We begged for her to put it on the song, put it on Speak Now. She's since the first time she sang it in 2006, and everybody's been obsessed with it since, so... That song definitely deserves a nomination, so that makes me happy. Yay! They're going to be hosted by Will Smith, and they're going to air on March 31st on Nickelodeon at 8 or 7 Central. So make sure you tune in to see if Taylor wins.
I think she'll win.
I hope she'll win, but yeah.
I hope she wins. All right, sorry, I interrupted. Continue the news, please.
So we are all super excited that Taylor, you know, co-wrote and sang Safe and Sound for The Hunger Games, but we have another awesome announcement. And that's that she actually wrote a second song for The Hunger Games. And that song is called Eyes Open. And we have not heard it yet, but we're really excited to.
Wait, is it Eyes Open or Eyes Wide Open?
No.
I don't remember.
It's
I know
eyes
there was
open.
Confusion.
It's Eyes
okay,
Open.
Okay, I know there was confusion with that. So I just wanted to make sure we're clear.
Yeah, originally iTunes had listed it as Eyes Wide Open, but that was a mistake and they had to switch it to Eyes Open.
Thank you for clarifying, Belle.
You're welcome, Adam. The album is expected to be released on iTunes on March 20th, and it's going to be on sale for $11.99. But it can be pre-ordered now, so...
Keep in mind that is an expected release date, according to iTunes. They don't say it's absolutely released on that date.
Hopefully it will be, because I'm impatient.
I know, right?
I know, I'm going to be stomping my foot if it's not out on that date. I've already pre-ordered mine. Anyways, Taylor and the cast of Lorax help promote the National Education Association's Read Across America campaign to help support the love of reading among children, which is awesome. The campaign is going to kick off on March 2nd, and that's also the release date of The Lorax in theaters, and that's no coincidence. It is also Dr. Seuss's birthday.
Woo!
I used to be obsessed with Dr. Seuss when I was, like, a little kid. Like, Green Eggs and Ham. I used to force my parents to buy, like, food coloring.
Hey,
so I could
you
have
wanna
green
know
eggs
an,
and ham.
You want to know an interesting bit of trivia?
Huh.
Taylor's character, Audrey, is actually named after Dr. Seuss's wife, Audrey.
That is true.
Pretty
that's true.
Cool.
That's awesome.
I thought it was cool. I just wanted to throw it in. I thought it was fun.
And also, Taylor's doing, like you said, she's playing the voice of a character named Audrey. And she's also doing voiceovers with Zac Efron, Danny DeVito, and isn't Betty White in this too?
Betty White is? She
yes!
did the voice of the grandmother,
right.
of Zac Efron's character's grandmother.
That's so cute. Yeah. She is awesome. I love Betty White. She is just hilarious.
Yeah, she is.
Anyways, the Lorax premiere was on February 19th, and one of our co-hosts, didn't Jen see to go to that premiere?
She did go.
Yeah, she did. So she'll have to tell us about that the next time she's on. Yeah, she went to that premiere. So that's cool. I didn't get to go. But there's photos available of this premiere at the gallery at taylorswift13.org. So go check them out.
Lots of pictures.
Awesome pictures. The last awesome news segment is that if you guys have been on Twitter at all or even on Facebook, there was this...
open a newspaper.
That
yeah.
too. But there was
it's all over the web.
Well, yeah, it is now, but I mean, before this happened. Twitter and, Facebook. Okay, so there's this kid who is a senior in high school, and he's battling leukemia for the second time. I guess he had went into remission a couple years ago, but then it came back. And his older sister wanted to do something special for him. And says that Taylor Swift makes him really, really happy. So she started a Facebook page for him, and the campaign was to try and get Taylor Swift to go with him to his prom in June. So finally it got Taylor Swift's attention, and she made a Facebook status update that said, "Kevin, I'm so sorry, but I won't be able to make it to your prom. But I was wondering, the ACM Awards are coming up. Would you be my date? Love, Taylor."
Which is so adorable.
That is completely adorable. Oh my god, I screamed. I was like,
I teared up.
It was so, cute. It was so adorable. And anyways, they had they videotaped him, reading this update. And he was just like, really? Really? He was so excited. It was so cute. Yeah, I mean, hopefully if he feels well enough, he wants to go. So I would love for him to go and us be able to see him there. That's really,
really... I'm sure he's going.
Yeah. Provided nothing horrible happens with his health. But yes. I agree, provided he's going. But isn't that awesome of Taylor to do that, you guys? I mean, how many people do you know that, like, would do that for somebody?
Taylor.
Taylor, yeah.
Exactly, Taylor. But I mean, like, celebrity-wise, like, how many people are in that position, and how often does something like that happen? Like, she is such a classy person. I can't even get over
it. Shows how sweet she is. She's like, how sweet. Big her heart is. Virtual hand hearts.
Virtual hand hearts to Kevin and his family.
Absolutely. Virtual hand hearts to you guys.
His sister must be over the mood that it succeeded.
I think that was really awesome of his sister to do that, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really, really awesome thing for, like, to see a family doing for, like, for her sibling. And, I don't know, the whole thing was sweet and touching and made me all sniffly.
Yeah, so watch for updates with the whole Kevin Maguire story in future episodes.
Absolutely.
Onto the first segment. We were talking about last time how the Safe and Sound music video came out the day after we recorded, go figure, so we couldn't talk about it until now. So, Safe and Sound music video. As you guys mentioned, you've both read the books. Do you think the video fits the theme?
Yes.
Does it go with it?
Yes,
definitely.
Absolutely.
I was pleasantly surprised how much it fit with my imagination of how it all went down.
It was pretty dreary in the forest. And
yeah.
Hey, Belle.
Yep.
I got a surprise for you.
Uh-oh. That can never be good.
Last weekend, I read the first book.
Oh, did you now? After saying you weren't going to do it, telling me I'm not going to get on that bandwagon, blah, 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 you finally caved in, huh?
Do you know what it was? I actually read it specifically so we could talk about it now.
Oh, okay. I see how it is. I see how it is.
I swear to you, I actually read it specifically for this discussion.
Okay.
Because now I am familiar with the characters and the settings and the theme of the story and what happens in the story, which is gruesome and disgusting.
Right. Yeah, but didn't you like the book? I mean, here's my question for you then. Are you going to read the next two?
You know what? I'm in the middle of the second one. I'm finding it a little bit slower than the first one, to be honest.
Well, that's how it always is. It's transitional.
But that's neither here nor there. We're talking about the first one specifically because that's what Safe and Sound relates to. Yeah, I mean, do you guys kind of think that the music video kind of fit, like, the story? It was almost like to me in a way, kind of Taylor was almost playing Katniss. Because she was off in the forest by herself.
But sort of figuratively.
And then, yeah. Like figuratively, not literally, but figuratively. She was off in the forest by herself in a really just bad spot, bad situation. And then you've got the civil wars in that little house. And they almost reminded me of, like, her family being back home, like...
Waiting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, waiting and wondering what's going on with her.
Yeah.
So...
I love the coloration that they used in the video. Was what really,
I did too.
Really got to me. Was just like the way, I don't know how to explain it, just the way that the coloration, the screens that they filmed it through and everything, really fit the mood of, like, the sadness and just the emotion of the song and the relation of it to the Hunger Games. I thought that was really brilliant use of color.
Yeah, it was kind of dreary.
Yeah. Dreary, but, like, it provoked an emotional response, you know? Like, the whole video just made you, like, feel, which is, you know, exactly what it's supposed to do, so that's good.
Right.
And it was, I mean, it was beautiful. It was less sad, but beautiful. But you know what? Taylor actually reminded me a little bit of, like, a mix between Back to December and White Horse and, like, her facial expressions at times.
Well, it is the same face.
Yeah, well, thank you, Adam! Wow, really? Really? Are you sure
Sorry.
About that, Adam?
I had to throw it in. I don't think Taylor has changed her face.
Wow. Adam.
Although, after reading the Hunger Games book, I find that they're allowed to kind of change their faces, aren't they?
Wow, Adam.
Oh.
I'm not even sure what to say to you right now.
Anyway, so what was... I mean, Belle, so you liked the colors and whatever filter they filmed through and everything. Haley, what was your favorite part of the video?
Let's see. Well, I loved when she picked up the mockingbird pin.
That was incredibly like.
I believe it's a mockingjay.
Sorry.
Am I the Hunger Games expert now?
No, Adam.
But anyways, mockingjay pin. Yes, I love how they tied that in to tie it in with perfect. The actual movie.
Yeah, it tied it to the movie and to the book and to the whole story I mean, because it turns out I'm finding as I continue the series that Mockingjay symbol is very important.
Very.
Just wait till you get to the third book.
Exactly.
Well, the third book is called Mockingjay, so don't spoil anything for me.
We weren't gonna.
Don't be spoiled.
We're going to tell you the ending, and we're going to tell you who dies and who lives.
Stop it!
I just loved her outfit and her whole, the way she was dressed in it as well.
So, did you guys have any things you didn't like about it? Any least favorite parts?
I wish the fire was more pronounced, because there was times where you could only be like, you had to really look to see it.
Yeah, that's true.
And they were really talking about how it was supposed to be right outside your window.
That would have been kind of interesting to have tied in, like, the forest being even more figurative if there were times where she was, like, had her hand to the window and there was fire. Like, that would have made it kind of, like, more interesting.
I just wish it was, like, you know how far off the fire was. I just wish that part was bigger so at least you could see it more. Not, like, have it be close. Just, it look bigger.
You know what I realized, Belle, actually, is since we did that special edition, Safe and Sound, with our immediate responses that we recorded, like, what, an hour after it was released?
Not even, yeah. Like, right away. You were like, get on the computer right now!
I know, I did. I yelled at you. I'm like, get on! And, like, nobody else was. And, I mean, do you think after really, like, taking time to analyze it now, does the song itself, the lyrics, become more relevant to the story?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what scene is it from in the book?
Well, it's not from a specific scene. It's all about the theme of the story. It's all about, like, Katniss's fam, you know, like, the whole, her having to leave her sister. And
taking her place.
Yeah, taking Primrose's place. And then her having to leave Primrose, you know, and not knowing if she'd ever see her again. I mean, like, she, you know, she's even, you know, like the character says in the preview, like, there's 30, how many is there? 34, 35? I forget how many. Well, okay, there's 20, well, and she's like, only one of us is going to come out of this, you know? So the chances of her seeing her mom and her sister again at that point are pretty slim. And she
Talking about how many people?
I think it's 24.
Yeah, there's 24, Belle. Because
there's 12 districts, and it's two from each district.
Yeah, because 13 district doesn't exist, or they don't know exist yet. Anyway.
Yeah, but, well, basically the point I was attempting to get at, really, is that after having read that first book, I actually understand the song now. So, if it was, like, a good song before, it's become, like, an awesome song now.
Now that you know the whole story.
Yeah, so now, that was basically my subtle way of suggesting people should read it if they want a full appreciation for the song. Anyway, that was kind of my story.
I like to read it while I played the song. That's what I liked.
You want to know the most bizarre thing?
Huh.
Okay, so I was sitting reading the book, right? And I'm reading it. And it was one of the parts in the book where she's in the forest and it's quiet and whatever. And while I was reading, I could hear crickets. You know, the crickets chirping. I was like, what? And so I looked away from the book and it stopped. And as soon as I looked back at the book again, I could hear crickets again.
That's so weird.
And I tried that like 3 or 4 times. It was the most bizarre thing ever. Like, I could hear crickets every time I looked at that book.
Oh, that is very strange, Adam. Not sure what to tell you.
Anyway, so, carrying right along, did you guys see Taylor and Zach on Ellen the other day?
Absolutely! That was the cutest thing ever.
What was your favorite part?
Okay, I'm just gonna go ahead and say this. I've never been a huge fan of, like, the boy bandy look. You know, and Zach kind of had that going on during, like, the whole High School Musical thing. And I really haven't paid attention to him in a couple of years. And he walks onto Ellen with this, like, leather jacket, and he hasn't shaved in a day or two, and he looked good. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, God, Belle.
He looked good. And him and Tina
looked
adorable. Yeah, see? It's not just me.
Oh, yeah? Well, you know, when I was sitting there and Taylor walked on stage, I was like, oh, she looks awesome.
Okay, this is different. We all see Taylor, like, on a daily
basis. I didn't like Zach before.
Yeah, neither did I, see? I have a newfound adoration for him.
To see him all grown up, you're like, all right.
Yeah, he grew up good.
All right.
But no, seriously, but like, they interacted really adorably together. I thought they were really cute. And I love the song. When
they changed
the lyrics, that was great.
So, Belle, you play guitar. Haley, do you play guitar?
I do not.
If you could pick any guitar teacher in the world, who would it be?
Taylor.
That would be pretty awesome.
Me too. Gosh. I'm sorry, but Zach is so lucky that Taylor got to teach him to play guitar.
I loved how she, like, After the first drum of the notes, she was like, oh, that was so good.
Yeah, and Ellen's like, oh, only a girlfriend would respond that quickly.
Man, she got a little heavy with the teasing on them, though.
Oh, it was hilarious, though.
She always really does, though.
Yeah, no, she's really funny.
Ellen always does that. I kind of feel like, with the exception of when Ellen scared Taylor, that this was probably the funniest appearance on Ellen yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was my favorite.
I could have died!
I know she incorporated that into her song. She's like, so, in case people haven't watched, which I'm just kind of, I think we're assuming everybody here has watched those segments, but Taylor and Zach rewrote Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People. And change the lyrics up to kind of tell their story with Ellen and whatever. And
on this show, it's really weird. Without laughing.
Yeah, that's what she changed it to. So
so funny.
And it was just funny because Taylor's all like, "I fell in, I couldn't." How does that part of the song go?
No, she's I'm trying to remember. Ellen scared me in the bathroom, and I fell, and I could have died.
Yeah. So funny. Which is hands down the funniest video I've ever seen.
Hilarious.
When she was Ellen wearing some high boots on those.
I could not breathe. Like, I was laughing so hard that, like.
And what's funny, I think Taylor's mom was in on it. Because if you look in the background, Taylor's mom out and is busting up laughing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She had to be.
So.
How else would she go into the bathroom, like, as soon as she gets in there?
Yeah, yeah, probably.
And she looked like she was, like, checking the whole place out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she, like, walks into the room and then goes straight for the bathroom.
Yeah.
And Ellen jumps off her and she hits the wall.
Oh, but speaking more to this episode, though, that was funny, though, when they brought out the guitars for Zach and Taylor to play. And Ellen's like, look, Taylor, you have your own picks. And Taylor's all like, yeah they have my face on them.
That's kind of awkward.
She says it's awkward. I almost died.
But they had Zach playing the Baby Taylor guitar, which I have and I love. It's a really good guitar.
Was that the Baby Taylor?
That was the Baby Taylor. And I own that guitar.
I was wondering when they brought that out if that was the case.
It is, and it's actually a really good guitar for its size. It's got a really good sound to it.
Yet you've already given us a review, Belle, on a past episode.
I have. I'm just reiterating.
Should I get it for my daughter?
Yes, it's really...
Give it a reason for me to buy it.
It actually is a legitimate reason for you to buy it, though, especially for a kid, because it has smaller frets, so it's easier for somebody with smaller hands, such as a child, to learn guitar.
Yeah,
Is that why Zac Efron was using it? Because he's a child?
Shut up, Adam.
Ouch.
I'm kidding, Zach's a grown man.
We know, Adam. Me and Haley both discussed this recently.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so the dance dares. Which one was the funniest?
Oh God, I can't even.
I think the funniest was Betty White. Yeah. Like Zach sneaks up behind Betty White and starts like just dancing, and she turns around and she's like, "Oh, Zach!"
anything that involves Betty White's existence is going to be funny.
She's adorable.
She is adorable. I adore her. She's so funny.
Do you know what I've got to wonder though? Betty White obviously caught him. Do you really think Selena Gomez did not know Zach was literally right behind her? Because he was, like, straight up club dancing, like, right up on her.
That was so funny.
Like, he was within inches of her. Surely she felt something.
I don't know, maybe she was preoccupied.
She was just talking to someone.
So?
I would be the other person, like, that she's talking to, laughing my head off.
I know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just be like, what's so funny? Nothing. Nothing at all. I mean, come on, haven't you all been in those positions where, like, you've been talking to somebody and someone else is, like,
and something else is going on behind you? Yeah. Funny,
and they're like, well, what are you looking at? Nothing. Nothing at all. I'm not looking at nothing. Nothing's going on. Just continue to talk. And you just have to try to keep a straight face, and it's really hard.
I mean, she must have felt him, though. He was within inches of her.
So, some people are oblivious sometimes.
I guess, but whatever. And what's the deal? Question, on a completely, semi-off-topic basis, one of the dance dares was on Akon. What was Taylor doing in a recording studio with Akon?
Perhaps a surprise collaboration for her next album?
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Or something with him?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, she has definitely said this album's going to be different, and she's doing collaborations and co-writes.
Fair enough. That'd be kind of cool. But sorry, off topic. Dance stairs.
There goes Adam with his whip.
I know. Ooh. Well, we get off topic quite a bit. So.
I'm just teasing you.
So, Belle, how was your weekend? I'm kidding.
My weekend was interesting, Adam. How was your weekend? What did you do? What TV shows did you watch?
I know. So, the last thing I want to note on the Ellen show was the pathetic single girls party. So, Ellen asks Taylor what she did on Valentine's Day. She's like, me and some single girlfriends of mine did a pathetic single girls party. Okay, you're both girls. You guys actually do these things?
Yes. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
We might not call them pathetic single girls parties, but yes, we do have them.
The same thing. We all have to get together, bake, hang out, and talk crap about men.
Eat ice cream, watch chick flicks.
Yes.
See, that's why.
Talk about how much boys
like,
suck.
It's like half of it is being sad that we don't have men, and half of it is men are horrible anyways. There's a reason that they're like the second best gender, and you know
they're stinky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See. I think that segment of Ellen's show set up like a battle of the sexes type situation because like I'm totally like on Zach's side with this because Zach was all like he's like guys don't do stuff like that and I was like yeah
how is that a good thing? I mean
that we don't have pathetic single guys parties?
Oh, yes, you do. They're called bachelor parties. They're called hanging out at the bar. It's the same exact thing.
A bachelor party is celebrating someone who is getting married.
Okay, but what do you do at a bachelor party? It's all of guy stuff, okay?
Sure.
Any guy stuff. That's basically what girls' parties are.
All right, whatever. Whatever.
You got put in this place and you can't handle it, so it's whatever.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's whatever. I'm being overpowered right now.
All right. Getting back on topic.
Did you guys... Yeah, sorry. Did you guys have anything you wanted to highlight from the Ellen show?
I do.
Please share.
My favorite thing is the video of Meredith.
Oh, I forgot about that.
The cat fail.
Can you share with us what the cat fail video was about?
So Taylor is videoing Meredith playing with a toy on her couch. Meredith turns to jump on a throw pillow to get onto the higher up part of like the back of the couch. She doesn't stick her claw. Well, she sticks her claws in, but the pillow moves, and Meredith ends up tumbling and falling on the floor and taking off
with the pillow.
And then the pillow. Yeah, the camera then turns to Taylor, and she is cracking up laughing over at Meredith.
Of course, she is. It was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
I
watched it. I replayed that so many times.
I am so jealous of anybody, especially Taylor, who can actually catch their pets doing things like that on camera, because my dog does the funniest, craziest stuff ever, but I'm never filming when she does it. Like, she'll try to jump up on the couch, but she'll, like, misjudge the distance of the couch from the ground, so she'll, like, jump right up and hit face first into the side of the couch and bounce backwards and fall on the floor. Like, I've seen her do this multiple times, and I've never been able to catch it or do it on camera.
I guess Taylor's just a better video director than you.
Taylor is better at everything than everybody. It's not fair. Taylor's awesome. She's like awesome at everything, and now we can just add to the list catching the awesome stuff her cat does on film. Just add that to the list of Taylor's talents.
Just add it to Taylor's list of how much she's better than all of us.
Pretty much.
Gosh, Taylor.
That video was hilarious.
So, Belle, do you have anything else you want to highlight from the Ellen show?
I think I've pretty much said my piece.
I mean, that was just the funniest of funny. So, I mean, just to remind everyone, when we're talking about videos on the show, I will put them up after the show on taylortalk.org in case you missed any of them or want to rewatch them. So.
Yeah, so the Save and Sound video, the cat fail video. I think I sent you the cat fail video, didn't I already, Adam?
I've got it. I've got all the Ellen videos, so. Okay. Yeah, if you guys missed any of it, seriously, it's so funny.
It's hilarious.
Oh,
definitely
Ellen.
Worth watching.
Now, on to another segment of If Swifties Ruled the World / You Know You're a Swiftie When. So, should we let our guest kick off with the first one?
Yeah, why not?
Go, guest.
All
right. Go, Haley.
You know you're a Swiftie when your entire wall is covered with posters of Taylor and you only speak Taylor quotes. And that was by Alex Kidder.
At Alex Kidder.
At Alex Kidder.
Such as, Why don't you go stand in the corner and think about what you did?
Yes.
Sorry, I was talking to Adam earlier. My dog was misbehaving, and I told her to do that.
Anyway. And we're like, Taylor quote! Anyway.
Taylor quote, yeah. You know you're a Swiftie when everything on your birthday list is Taylor stuff. And that was submitted by Molly via email.
Next one is one of my favorites we've ever gotten, actually. At Shine for Taylor said, you know you're a Swiftie when you think Tim McGraw. You don't even think of Tim McGraw, just Taylor Swift.
That is awesome. I totally do that.
Me too. That song is very special to me.
Who doesn't do that?
I don't know, maybe they're an absolutely huge Tim McGraw fan.
When you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think of Taylor.
Well, she says, hope you think of me, and it's her, so she...
We think of Taylor.
I guess the song accomplished its goal,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
All right, Haley, if you could get the next one.
All right. At KLoveSwift13 says, you know you're a Swiftie when you spend your Saturday watching Speak Now Live over and over and over.
That's my Saturday every Saturday.
Yeah, and spends his Saturdays with Taylor.
Metaphorically he speaking, wishes. Of course.
You know you're a Swiftie when you're sending you know you're a Swiftie when tweets, such as this one, to TaylorTalk13. I love it. That's from Herpstar13. You're awesome. Virtual hand heart.
That one was really funny.
We love it. We love that. That's fantastic.
That one was really, really funny. So if any of you want to submit, you know you're Swiftie when, or if Swifties ruled the world, remember you can always tweet us at TaylorTalk13, or if it's longer, email it in to TaylorTalk@TaylorSwift13.org. The moment you guys have all been waiting for. Drumroll, please. Our special guest interview. Last week, Jensita and I had the opportunity to interview this individual. And, well, here it is. We're going to play it for you. It is our interview with Brian Mansfield of USA Today.
Completely excited to have this guy on, even though I wasn't here for this interview, but go for it, you guys.
Welcome Brian Mansfield into the conversation with us.
Yay!
Hey!
How's it going, Brian?
It's going great. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks for coming. So, could you just start and tell us a little bit about your background and how you became to be connected with Taylor and things like that?
Sure. Well, I've been writing for USA Today since about 1997, and Taylor and I met... I guess it was 7 years ago, almost 7 years ago now, at a BMI event in Nashville. And we got seated next to each other at Toby Keith's table. I always used to tell people that it was my best name-dropping story because we were at Toby Keith's table, and Carrie Underwood was there. And we were sitting, Taylor and I were sitting right behind Little Richard. He was at the next table. And it took me like 20 minutes to work up my nerve to introduce myself to Little Richard. Because, I mean, it's like every star in Nashville was there, and Little Richard was the only celebrity in the room. I mean, everybody was lined up to say hi to Little Richard. And so it took me like 20 minutes to work up the nerve to do that. Finally did it, turned around, Carrie Underwood was there. And so Carrie is really shy, if you don't know her. So I said, okay, I just had to go through this. You got to meet Little Richard. And so I dragged Carrie Underwood over to meet Little Richard. And so it's like, you know, so it's my best name dropping. You got Toby Keith, Little Richard, Carrie Underwood, and I'm seated next to this 15-year-old girl who has just signed a record contract, hadn't put out a record or anything yet. Turns out to be Taylor Swift.
And that's the first time you met her.
That's the first time I met her.
What was your first? Oh, I was going to just ask what your first impression was at that point.
Oh, you know, she was just another kid signed to a record company. They, you know, they were signing teenagers left and right at that point. And so, I mean, you know, she was very nice. We talked a little bit because we were seated next to each other. Did not have the good sense to turn around and introduce her to Little Richard. So that's the, and nobody did that night. Nobody at the table. None of us thought to say, hey, Richard, this is Taylor. Taylor, this is Richard. Didn't occur to a single person. So my takeaway lesson for that is always introduce the kid to the celebrity.
Poor Taylor.
He'd have been like, Taylor who?
Yeah, well, I mean, he was like Carrie, who he didn't know who Carrie was, because Carrie had just, this was the year that Carrie had won Idol, so she'd only been in town for about 6 months, and Richard didn't know who she was until somebody leaned over and said, "Hey, that's the girl that just won American Idol." Then it was a big deal, but yeah, he had no clue.
You know, it's a shame she couldn't be included in our interview. One of our co-hosts, Belle, auditioned for American Idol. And I believe she made it past the first round, but didn't make it very far beyond that.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, it's a great experience for people.
Yeah, I'd imagine. So you write that Idol, what is it?
Idol Chatter. Yeah, the Idol Chatter blog for USA Today.
That's cool. So you're pretty much the Idol expert.
Yes. I've been doing that for, I guess this is my fourth season. Season 8 was my first.
I see all your tweets when like the show's going on.
Yes. Yeah. I'm always, that's the thing that I do, is whenever I'm at an event or if it's a show that I'm covering or something, my tweets go live and then I get on everybody's nerves on my Twitter feed.
So speaking of your Twitter, like how cool is it to be like the very first person Taylor follows?
Well, I remember when it showed up, because I got this thing, because there weren't all of these fake Taylor accounts at that point. And I got this notification says Taylor Swift is following you on Twitter. And I figured it wasn't really Taylor following me on Twitter. And so I called up her publicist and was like, "Has Taylor started a Twitter account?" It's like, "Yeah, it's Taylor Swift 13. I was like, "Okay, just wanted to make sure." Because she's following me and she's following some radio station, and just had no clue why she would be doing it. And so
she likes your work?
Well, nothing that exciting. I did finally ask her about it a couple of years ago. She said, "Well, you were the only person in my address book that had a Twitter account before I did, so I had to follow somebody."
Well, it seems she's still following you. I don't think she's following whatever that radio station.
Yeah, well, I think with the radio station, when every radio station suddenly started having a Twitter feed, then it was kind of bad politics to just follow one station. And so I suspect that was more of a political move than anything else. But she's added a couple other journalists since then, so I'm not nearly as special as I once was.
But you're still the first one.
Yes,
and you're
I
still am. Number one on the list.
Yes, I am still. And actually, I think the radio station was actually number one at the beginning. But I don't tell many people that.
She says hi to you in press interviews and stuff. We hear that stuff when they post the interviews and we're like, "Oh, she said hi to Brian." Or yeah. I saw she like fist bumped you or something at one award show or something.
Yeah, that would have been the CMT Artist of the Year. She walked by while I was talking to somebody, kind of snuck up on me and grabbed my shoulder and then fist bumped me. But yeah, I mean, well, but that's not all that uncommon, because we, you know, we all know everybody, and the artists know us, and we know the artists, and so if they see us, they say hi, and you know, we like that too.
Do you ever get starstruck being around all these big country stars?
You know, there's a pretty clear delineation. Anybody that was famous before I went professional, that's a big deal for me. So if I'm interviewing Robert Plant or Neil Young or somebody like that, that's a huge deal for me. You know, Taylor is this kid I knew when she was 15 years old. You know, Garth Brooks is somebody that, you know, came along about 6 months after I interned for his manager. So, you know, so these are all, it's almost more colleagues, but somebody that, you know, when I was a kid was a big deal to me. I get a little starstruck there, yeah.
It's got to be pretty amazing to, like, watch and see how their career develops. And then, you know, you said you met Taylor when she was a teenager, and it might be interesting to see, well, she made it, but these other ones that got signed, like, they didn't really end up making it. So that's got to be an interesting kind of view that you have, too.
Yeah, and Taylor is really the one that I've gotten to follow all of these years, starting literally from nowhere and then watching her become as big as she is. That's been really neat to watch, because I've known her at almost every stage of the game.
So do you think that's helped your career at all, being able to follow her and you basically like know everything? I mean, you're an expert on Taylor.
Being able to say that I was the first person she follows on Twitter, that, you know, that carries a lot of cachet.
Right.
Yeah, but it is, because, you know, I am sort of, I'm one of the journalists that has known her longest And, you know, and I don't want to say there's a personal relationship, because that would be, I think that would be assuming too much. It's not like she comes over for dinner or we go out to lunch or anything like that. But I think there is a trust factor there, because we've talked to each other so many times, and she kind of knows what to expect when I'm talking to her, and she knows what I'm going to be looking for and what I'm going to kind of leave alone. I don't really have a whole lot of interest in who she's dating and the specifics of that. And, you know, ours tend to be more musical conversations, you know, music and career and stuff like that.
Well, do you have a background in music?
Yes. I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston. And so my degree is in music. And then I also attended Belmont University for a couple of years and took some music business classes there. And then I've been, pretty much my entire career has been writing about it with USA Today for the last 15 years almost. But I was at the Tennessean here in Nashville and did a few other things. But yeah, but USA Today has been 15 years of music coverage.
It's a long time. USA Today, I believe, is like the biggest newspaper in the country, isn't it?
It's one of them. It kind of goes back and forth with the Wall Street Journal for a long time. For a while, they were, and then we were. And I think right now the Journal may actually have bigger circulation, but it's not by much.
Right. It's close.
So let's get your intake on the Grammys, Brian. What did you think of the results? Was it like what you had predicted, or were there some shockers?
I didn't even really have to predict this year. It was kind of nice. I just sort of got to watch and see what happened. And, you know, I did a few tweets. And the Grammys are nice. You know, basically, my view on award shows is they're really excuses to have televised performances, because it's the performances that actually do the singers any good, and the awards are just sort of nice things to have. And not ever being nominated for those things, I don't really have to worry about, is it an honor to be nominated? Am I going to worry about getting the award? So I'm not sure that if you asked me, I could tell you who won everything. And But as far as a telecast, I thought it was a really good telecast this year. I thought they did a really good job of balancing kind of legacy acts like McCartney and Springsteen and Tony Bennett with contemporary stuff like Taylor and the Civil Wars and Deadmau5 and all of that. So big picture, I was really happy with the Grammys this year.
What about Taylor's performance? What was your opinion on that?
I thought this performance was a lot better than the last performance on the Grammys.
you mean the one that ended up resulting in Mean being written in the first place?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that was kind of the thing that impressed me most, was sitting there watching him going, you know, she turned what was not her best performance into another TV slot and a couple of Grammys. That's actually kind of impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
Is there any specific genre of music that you take more of an interest in?
No, I'm really just kind of all over the place. Because I'm in Nashville, I cover a lot of country music, cover a lot of Christian music, because those are the industries that are really based here. And then I do, because I have the American Idol beat, I focus on that a lot. I've got daughters that are 8 and 10. I've got 4 kids. I've got boys that are 20 and 18, and I've got girls that are 10 and 8. And so I cover a lot of the stuff that they're interested in, because that's, I see a lot of that in the house, and I kind of see how that stuff works with them. But I'm really just all over the place. I mean, I listen to a lot of mainstream stuff. I listen to a lot of really weird stuff. Listen to a lot of jazz. Listen to a lot of old music. Listen to a lot of, I mean, it's just kind of all music all the time here.
I liked how Taylor changed the words during her Mean performance too.
Yes.
Did you catch that?
Well, in fact, that's where it all kind of sank in. It's like, you know, she pretty much wrote this song from what I can tell as a direct response to somebody that had really taken her to task over her Grammy performance. And so when she sang that, it was like, oh, that's right. This song is about what somebody said about the last time she performed on this show.
I was cheering when she changed that line.
I was so excited. Because,
you know, I mean, that's the point. She's all like, someday I'll be singing this at the Grammys. And I was like, oh, snap. Like, she just threw that in whoever it was, his face.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, she's never actually put a name to that. But I do know that she wrote it about somebody that she had considered to be pretty much in her corner and then turned on her pretty hard. And there are a couple of people that fit that description, but the one that really fits it best is a guy named Bob Lefsetz, who has a music industry newsletter. You know, and I asked her point blank if it was about him, and she wouldn't, you know, she'll never actually say in person that it's about that it's about Bob Lefsetz, or it's about Joe Jonas, or it's about Taylor Lautner, or whoever. But you know, if you pick up enough clues, you can kind of go, yeah, that's pretty much who it is.
So how did she respond to that when you asked her?
You know, she just kind of dodges, and well, it was about somebody who, you know, said some mean things about me, and you know, and she was just vague enough to sort of go, yeah, okay, it probably was, but you're not going to go on record as saying that. I mean, she's very careful not to go on record with stuff that could come back to bite her. She always keeps that plausible deniability.
That's smart, though.
Yes.
I mean, one of the things I've learned, I've taken some journalism classes at school at UNLV.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things they talk about is nothing is off the record.
Right.
With a lot of journalists, you know, most really. Like, yeah. If they get a juicy, juicy bit of information, they're going to use it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And so, you know, she likes to keep a little bit of mystery to it. And you know she's not going to give you that, but it's really funny because when we were talking about this, this would have been backstage at the Grand Ole Opry, and so we're just kind of dancing around this stuff, and it got to the point where it reminded me like when I was hitting on girls in college, and I was trying to learn something about them that they didn't want to say, and so I would ask. You know, I'd come from one angle and go right up to the point where they wouldn't talk about it. And then I'd come from another angle and go right up to the point that they wouldn't talk about it. And you do that four or five times and you figure out what's the one thing that's left that they're not going to talk about. And then even though they've never said it, you know that's the thing. And so that's kind of the dance when we're doing the, okay, who is this song about interview? That's kind of the dance that we do.
I wonder if he's written anything after her latest performance.
I'm sure she has. I haven't heard anything.
That Bob guy. I wonder if he's like said anything about it.
Oh, Bob. No, I haven't. You know, he's mentioned a couple of times because I actually called him. I don't remember much about the conversation, but when that came out, I called him and I said, you know, I think this is about you, and so he has mentioned that people think it is about him, but no, he's. Yeah, he's kind of stayed off of that topic for a while. He hadn't really said much about her lately.
There's only one time I think that Taylor has ever actually said who her song is about. And maybe she learned a lesson after that or something. Because, I mean, her first album was basically about people that she grew up with in high school. So you pretty much know who those people were about since her high school was small.
Right.
But there is an interview with Ryan Seacrest where she blatantly says that the song is about Joe Jonas.
Right.
Because they had just broken up. And that's the only time that she says that it's about Joe Jonas. And I don't know, maybe there was like some publicity things going on after that where they're like, you shouldn't say who it's about or something. But
Jensita, look what happened when she name dropped in the Vogue article.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, well, I mean, and, you know, look what happened with the Joe Jonas thing. It's like, you know, that one's, nobody's ever let go of that one. It's like, it shows up on their albums, it shows up on her albums, you know, it's just like, you know, that's the breakup that just keeps on giving right there.
Keeps on giving.
And well, we know her next album is going to be all about heartbreak.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, how as she kind of grows up and her life progresses, what all else she gets to write about. So in fact I think it's going to be really interesting when she finally finds that relationship that hangs in for a while. That to me is kind of where the real crux of her career is going to be, because it's a very different thing writing the kind of songs that she writes when you're in a long-term relationship than it is when you're writing about after the breakup. That's kind of easy to do because you don't have to answer for that one every day. Yeah, you look at somebody that gets married and is writing stuff at that level of personal, you know, when you're getting that deep into the personal stuff and you're, for example, married, that's when you got to answer for every day and every night.
I mean, what if do you think you can come up with like just some interesting story to round up everything?
I used to run into her on her birthday. I ran into her on her 17th birthday and then on her 18th birthday. And so for a couple of years, it was a joke that we always spent her birthday together. But it's been about 3 years since we've actually done that. But yeah, because like on her 17th birthday, there was a party for Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees, who was moving into Johnny Cash's old house, which burned down a few months later. And so she was at that with a friend of hers, who, now that I think about it, might have been Abigail, but I don't know, because it was before, you know, it was before the song, and so it was just Taylor's friend. And then on her 18th birthday, she had a big industry party, and so we were there for that. But the other thing is we've started like giving each other little gifts, and so the guitar picks have kind of become an in-joke. They're sort of the currency of the realm because, you know, as you know, her dad, Scott, is always giving out guitar picks to everyone that he sees. And so one night when she was playing the Opry, he gave me just like a handful of guitar picks to take home to my girls. And I mean, so many guitar picks, I just left them in my my laptop backpack. And so if I see a little girl that's, you know, running around as a tourist with her dad wearing a Taylor Swift shirt, I'll give her a guitar pick that Scott, you know, I'll say, Taylor's dad gave me this pick. And so, you know, if she sees me, she may give me a pick, and I'll usually give her a USB drive with, you know, with some little mixtape on it or something. And my 10-year-old daughter actually bought a guitar because she wanted to learn how to play Taylor Swift songs on the guitar. And so she uses the Taylor picks, but she walked up to Scott Borchetta, who runs Big Machine, the last Taylor Swift show in Nashville, and asked if she could have an internship when she was old enough. And I think Scott was so impressed that a 10-year-old would walk up into a conversation at a business event and ask that. It's as soon as you're old enough, you can come work for me. And so the last time I saw Scott gave me a pick to give to her. So we've got this whole pick trading thing going now with the Swifts and me.
All right. So before we wrap up, I have one last request.
Okay.
I want to hear you sing Boot, Scoot, and Boogie like you did at the Disney World's American Idol experience.
Oh my goodness, I've forgotten the words. Yeah, you can pull that on off of YouTube. Just go and take that. I don't have to do that here.
So you're going to deprive us of a live performance?
Yeah, I think I am, frankly. You have no idea how long I prepared knowing that I was going to do that. I must have sung that song 200 times in the 2 weeks that led up to me doing that. I'm not a singer anymore. I'm not going to just sing at the drop of a hat. No. That one, I would have done it if you'd warned me about it, but that's not something that I'm going to put on record.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Brian, and taking all this time out of your day.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure to do it anytime.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing any future work you write about Taylor.
See, me too. I haven't talked to her in like 2 months now, so hopefully there'll be something to talk about later this year.
Yeah, definitely. And you're always welcome back on if anything big happens.
Okay.
So maybe we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you again to Brian for joining us. That was a great interview. I'm really glad he was able to give us all that fun information about Taylor when she was, 15 years old. It was awesome.
Little Taylor,
barely signed to a record label. Like, who's Taylor Swift Taylor?
I love that she was the first person he was the first person she followed on Twitter.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Pretty awesome.
Bragging rights. So, next segment, mini segment. What are Swifties listening to? At Encourage Taylor says that all of you guys should go listen to a band called The Workday Release, and specifically suggesting their songs Love in a Box and also Simple Distance. So, Belle, you and I listened to these before recording. What do you think?
I think they're catchy.
Catchy, fun. Belle doesn't like the xylophone, but I do.
Okay, I just don't like xylophone in general. It's nothing against the band.
All right, whatever. Anyway, so go check out the Workday Release, and be sure to keep sending us those What Are Swifties Listening To submissions. Thanks, guys. You're awesome.
What would Taylor do?
One of our funniest yet, my opinion. Belle, can you read it?
What would Taylor do if Kanye wanted to do a duet? Kanye, I'm happy for you, and I'm going to let you finish. But Taylor's duet with Nicki Minaj in L.A. was the best duet of all time.
Nah.
There's a lot of duets better than anything with Kanye.
But what would Taylor do? Like, can you imagine, like, getting a phone call?
That awkward moment when.
Yo, Taylor, this is Kanye. I want to do a duet.
Yo, Kanye, I got to wash my hair that day. Sorry.
I think she would figure out the most polite way to decline.
A very classy way to decline, yes.
Do you know what? I don't know. Part of me wants to think she would actually do it, because Taylor is... I mean, she forgave him even before any of her fans did.
I think most of her fans still haven't forgiven him.
Well, forgiving and, like, doing something with him is totally different. She could, say, yes, I accept your apology and I forgive you for doing all this stuff, but she still might not want to have anything to do with him again.
That's possible. I don't know. It'd be an interesting duet. I'm not going to lie. I can't stand Kanye because of what he did to Taylor, but I do like some of his music.
I can officially say that I can't stand him because of Taylor, but I also have never liked his music to begin with. So
yeah, I never liked it.
I've never been a Kanye fan.
So. Oh, he's got a couple catchy tunes. Neither have I. Thank you to @Krista14Thompson for submitting that What Would Taylor Do? If you guys want to submit anything for any of the mini segments at all, What Would Taylor Do? What are Swifties listening to? If Swifties ruled the world? Etc., etc., etc. We got 20 different mini segments now. Not literally 20, but if you want to submit to any of those, please, please, please do. Tweet us @TaylorTalk13 or email us TaylorTalk@TaylorSwift13.org. And remember, go check out TaylorTalk.org for all kinds of fun goodies about the show.
Also, follow us @TaylorTalk13 on Twitter.
Woohoo!
Because we update about, like, when we're recording and when we are asking for stuff for the mini segments. And
also, something I kind of thought of to spread the love of music even more, what are Swifties listening to? If your submission does not make it to the show, that doesn't mean it won't be tweeted.
True.
So,
if you give us some awesome music to listen to, we just may tweet it. Anyway.
I like that.
So, Haley, seriously, thank you for joining us last minute.
It was my pleasure.
Picking up the slack for us. Thanks keeping for us being in line. On. Keeping us in line. Virtual
keeping,
hand heart to
me
you.
Adam from, aww, you know, destroying each other in arguments. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah. So anyway, for Taylor Talk episode 11, this has been Adam,
Belle,
and Haley.
Have a great day, guys.
Hand
bye-bye.
Hearts.
Hand heart.
Virtual hand hearts.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.